Julie of the Wolves by Jean Craighead George. Part 1. Amarok the Wolf. Miax pushed back the hood of her silkskin parka and looked at the Arctic sun. It was a yellow disk in a lime green sky, the colors of 6 o'clock in the evening and the time when the wolves awoke. Quietly, she put down her cooking pot and crept to the top of a dome-shaped frost heave, one of the many earth buckles that rise and fall in the crackling cold of the Arctic winter. Lying on her stomach, she looked across the vast lawn of grass and moss and focused her attention on the wolves she had come upon 2 sleeps ago. They were wagging their tails as they awoke and saw each other.
Her hands trembled and her heartbeat quickened, for she was frightened, not so much of the wolves, who were shy and many harpoon shots away, but because of her desperate predicament, Miax was lost. She had been lost without food for many sleeps in the north slope of Alaska. The Bering Slope stretches for 300 miles from the Brook Range to the Arctic Ocean, and for more than 800 miles from the Chukotka to the Beaufort Sea. No roads crossed it. Ponds and lakes freckled its immensity. Winds scream across it, and the view in every direction is exactly the same. Somewhere in this complex was Miax and the very life in her body. Its spark and warmth depend upon the wolves for her survival, and she was not sure they would help.
Maya stared hard at the regal black wolf, hoping to catch his eye. She must somehow tell him that she was starving and ask him for food. This could be done, she knew, for her father, an Eskimo hunter, had done so. 1 year he had camped near a wolf den while on a hunt. When a month had passed on, her father had seen no game. He told the leader of the wolves that he was hungry and needed food. The next night, the wolf called him from far away, and her father went to him and found a freshly killed caribou. Unfortunately, Mayette's father never explained to her how he had told the wolf of his needs, and not long afterward, he paddled his kayak into the Bering Sea to hunt for seal and never returned.
She had been watching the wolves for 2 days, trying to discern which of their sounds and movements expressed goodwill and friendship. Most animals had such signals. The little Arctic ground squirrels flicked their tails sideways to notify others of their kind, and they were friendly. By imitating his signal with her forefinger, Miax had learned many a squirrel to her hand. If she could discover such a gesture for the wolves, she would be able to make friends with them and share their food, like a bird or a fox.
Propped on her elbow with her chin in her fist, she stared at the black wolf, trying to catch his eyes. She couldn't. She chose him because he was much larger than the others, and because he walked like her father. Kapugin, with his head high and his chest out, the black wolf also processed wisdom. She had observed the pack looked to him with the wind carried strange scents, or the birds carried nervously. If he was alarmed, they were alarmed. If he was calm, they were calm.
Stop. Long minutes passed, and the black wolf did not look at her. He had ignored her since the since she first came upon them 2 sleeps ago. True, she moved slowly and quietly, so as not to alarm him. Yet she did wish he would see the kindness in her eyes. Many animals could tell the difference between hostile hunters and friendly people by merely looking at them, but the big black wolf would not even glance her way. A bird scratching the glass, the wolf looked at it, a flower twisting the wind. He glanced at that. Then the breeze rippled. The wolverine roughed on the Miaxis parka, and it glistening in the light. He did not look at that. She waited, patient, with the ways of nature had been installing in her by her father, and she knew better than to move or shout. Yet she must get food or die. Her hands shook slightly, and she swallowed hard to keep calm.
Okay, thank you.
Myax was a classic Eskimo beauty, small of bone and delicately weird with strong muscles. Her face was pearl round, and her nose was flat. Her black eyes, which slanted gracefully, were moist and spilling, like the beautifully formed polar bears and foxes of the north. She was slightly short-limbed. The frigid environment of the Arctic has sculptured life into compact shapes, unlike the long-limbed, long-body animals as the south that are cooled by dissipating heat on extended surfaces. All live things in the Arctic tend toward compactness to conserve heat. The length of her limbs and the beauty of her face were of no use of Myax as she lay on the lichen speckled frost heave in the midst of the black tundra. Her stomach ached, and the royal black wolf was carefully ignoring her.
Amarok Ilya, wolf, my friend, she finally called. Look at me, look at me. She spoke half in Eskimo and half in English, as if the instinct of her father and the science of her wasp, the white-faced mind evoked some magical combinations that would help her get her message through to the wolf. Amarok glanced at his paw and slowly turned his head towards her way with lifting his eyes. He lifted his shoulder. A few matted hairs sprang apart and twinkled individually. Then his eyes sped to each of the 3 adult wolves that made his pack, and finally to the 5 pups who were sleeping in a fuzzy mass near the den entrance. The great wolf's eyes softened at the sight of the little wolves, then quickly hardened into brittle yellow jewels as he scanned the flat tundra.
Not a tree grew anywhere to break the monotony of the cold green plain, for the soil of the tundra are permanently frozen. Only moss, grass, lichens, and a few hardy flowers take root in the thin upper layer that thaws briefly in the summer. Nor do many species of animals live in this rigid, rigorous land, but those creatures that do dwell here exist in bountiful numbers. Amarok watched a large cloud of lampland lone spurs wheel up into the sky, then a light in the grasses. Swarms of crane flies, one of the few insects that can survive the cold, darken the tips of the mosses. Birds will turned and called, thousands sprang up from the ground like leaves in a wind.